The Gospel of Luke, chapter 23, we begin our study in verse 26. And Father, we ask your blessings on the word that we're about to study, in Jesus' name. Amen. It says, as they led him away, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way in from the country. And they put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. All this Simon of Cyrene sees is a heavy cross full of slivers that he's being forced to carry. He didn't realize that he was involved in the most important thing that God has ever done for man. And it could be that some of the important things we've done for God were also done without ever realizing it. 27. A large number of people followed him, including women who mourned and wailed for him. They cry because they care about Christ, and it's tough to watch him suffer. It would have been easy for them to stay away and not witness this, but they would not allow their feelings to dictate their choices, and they were there by his side. 28, Jesus turned and said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children." Israel rejected God's king and is about to kill God's son. They will not have God rule over them, so they will not have God's protection either. Jesus knows what they are in for, and so he says, "Don't cry for me, cry for yourself." 29, "For the time will come when you will say, 'Blessed are the barren wombs, barren women, the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed.' When Rome smashes Israel in 70 AD, those who do not have children will be glad that they don't." Jesus knows, because he is God, that many children are going to starve to death, and many will be killed by the Roman army right before their parents' eyes. 30. "Then they will say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.'" And the way I figure it, if a mountain falls on me, I'm dead. And so it's going to get so bad for Israel that they're going to want to die. And if you don't have Christ, there will come a time when you won't want to exist. You won't want to be. Thing is, you are an immortal soul. So like it or not, you're going to exist forever. Verse 31. "For if men do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Let's say a man has three trees. Two of them are dead and one is healthy. And he cuts down the healthy one. Well, you know that the two dead ones are going to be cut down for sure. If he doesn't like trees enough to keep the healthy one, he sure won't keep the dead ones. Jesus never did a bad thing. And so if the Romans are nailing him to the cross, imagine what Rome will do to the rest of Israel, who are all guilty sinners. 32, "Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed." So to add to the Lord's shame, and to make it appear as if Jesus is one of the worst of the worst, he is executed alongside two hardcore criminals. 33, "When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him, along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. And this fulfills the Old Testament prophecy of Isaiah 53:12. He poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors, yet he himself bore the sins of many. Jesus died like a criminal because he was paying for our crimes against God. 34. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. This prayer is for the Roman soldiers. To them, Christ was just a criminal who had been found guilty. You know, they were doing their job. They didn't know that Jesus was innocent. But did you notice that Jesus never prayed, Father, forgive Judas? Father, forgive Pontius Pilate? He never prayed that because they did know that Christ was innocent. They just didn't care. And they didn't repent. And they didn't confess either. 35. The people stood watching and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, He saved others. Let him save himself if he's the Christ of God, the chosen one. In other words, the religious leaders were saying, to qualify as our Messiah, you must agree to these terms, Jesus. If you don't act how we want you to act, we're not going to accept you. If you act how we act, if you are a puppet and you let us pull your strings, well, then we'll believe in you. There's just one thing. This is God's world. And no one dictates anything to God. 36. The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. To a Roman soldier, power meant you could have things your way. And they think Christ is a liar because they figure no one in their right mind would suffer crucifixion if they really had the power to stop it. 38. There was a written notice above him which read, This is the King of the Jews. Pilate would not pass up an opportunity to take a cheap shot at Jesus, and that's what this sign is. It was Pilate's way of saying, Look, world, look how I have humiliated the Jews and their king. 39. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us. This criminal showed no remorse. This criminal would not repent. He wasn't interested in that. His only concern was avoiding the punishment for his sin. That is the mark of someone who should be punished and should not be forgiven. And he isn't. 40. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God, he said, since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. This criminal could deny the scripture, and he could reject religion. But he could not escape the goodness and the holiness of Jesus Christ. The Romans, the Jews, they're being cruel to Jesus. But it's so obvious that he's so full of love and kindness, which is making this criminal aware of his own sin. The love and the kindness of Jesus Christ during these very trying times is melting this sinner's heart and causing him to repent. 42. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. This guy is saved. I know that because an unsaved person may not want to go to hell, but they aren't too crazy about the idea of being in heaven either. You know, maybe heaven's not as bad as the flames of hell, but it's definitely not a good thing to an unsaved person. This guy wants to be there, and he wants to be with Jesus. 43, Jesus answered him, I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. a deathbed repentance and conversion to Christ is going to get a person into heaven. The thing is, God deserves to be our Lord much sooner than our deathbed. And something else, if you die without warning, or you die in your sleep, you're out of luck. So, yeah, there is such a thing as a deathbed conversion. You see it right here. But no one is guaranteed that opportunity. Especially if they knew about Jesus beforehand. This guy did not. 44, it was now about the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. Jesus was nailed to the cross at 9 a.m. At noon, the brightest time of the day, it got dark. And it stayed dark until Jesus died at 3. 45, for the sun stopped shining. This darkness was not caused by clouds. It wasn't caused by a solar eclipse either, because there was a full moon. And solar eclipses do not happen during a full moon. God turned the light of the sun off for 3 hours. That's what happened. So it says the sun stopped shining. And it also says that the curtain of the temple was torn in two. The curtain of the temple was torn in two. That temple curtain was there to separate God from sinful man. That curtain was a constant reminder that man's sin makes it impossible for him to come into the presence of God. It was a reminder that the gates of heaven were shut. 46, Jesus called out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And when he had said this, he breathed his last. Notice how that temple ripped the moment that Jesus died. God the Father tore that thing from top to bottom. And by doing it, he was saying, Jesus, my son, has done what nothing or no one else could do. Jesus did everything that needed to be done to make it possible for sinners to come into my presence, is what God the Father said by ripping that curtain. 47, the centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, surely this was a righteous man. And the guy in charge of the crucifixion was saying, we never should have nailed Jesus to the cross. He didn't deserve to die. He was a righteous man. Holy behavior under intense pressure cannot be faked. That is what Jesus displayed. And that's what convinced the Roman soldier that he was righteous. 48. When all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and went away. This bunch who formerly liked Christ had recently demanded his crucifixion. But now, it seems anyway, after seeing how he suffered with such grace, they are once again reminded why they liked him so much to begin with. This is the worst sin they ever committed, and they know it, and they're beating their breasts. 49, but all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. Those who cared about Christ couldn't do anything to help him. All they could do was watch him suffer. Jesus paid for our sins, and no one could ease his pain. It is something that he had to do all by himself to give us a chance to go to heaven. 50. Now there was a man named Joseph. There was a man named Joseph, a member of the council, a good and upright man. Joseph was a decent guy. He was one religious ruler who was kind and cared about justice. 51. It says, who had not consented to their decision and action. He came from the Judean town of Arimathea, and he was waiting for the kingdom of God. Joseph was a decent guy. He was a Jewish ruler, but he was against putting Christ to death. He did not vote to kill Jesus. 52. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body. Nicodemus knows that Jesus should not have been murdered. I should say Joseph knows that Jesus should not have been murdered. And he sure will not allow the Lord's body to remain in the open where it might be abused by those who killed him. 53. Then he took it down, wrapped it in a linen cloth, and placed it in a tomb, cut in the rock, one in which no one had yet been laid. God raised a man from the dead back in the Old Testament when his body was thrown into the tomb of a prophet and made contact with the prophet's body. Remember that story? Well, God did not want his enemies to be able to attribute the resurrection of Christ to anything like that. So Jesus is buried in a new tomb that had never been used. 54. It was preparation day, and Sabbath was about to begin. Every Friday was preparation day. It was a day when people prepared for the weekly Sabbath. All work that needed to be done before sundown on Friday. 55. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. The ladies had plans to return to this tomb after the Sabbath in order to anoint Jesus' body with spices, so they carefully observed where his tomb was. 56. Then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes, but they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandment. The Sabbath law prohibited them from returning to the tomb until Sunday morning. See how God had everything all figured out? Christ would be raised on the third day, and the ladies are forced to wait until the third day to return to the tomb. Result, they are witnesses to the empty tomb and to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we will look at that when we finish the book of Luke next time. Until then, so long, everyone.